So what a beautiful gift we have in the Catholic community, the Eucharist. What a great mystery, consolation, powerful presence. Cardinal Ewan Van Thuan, hopefully that's the right pronunciation. He's on the way to his canonization. Of course, his sister is actually in Canberra, our diocese. He's the cardinal who was imprisoned in Vietnam during the communist war, in house arrest, but even in prison for many years. And then he was sent to Rome and spent his last years in Rome. So when he was in prison, people would ask him, when he came out of prison, ask him, were you able to celebrate Eucharist in prison? And if he said yes, the next question would be to the cardinal, how were you able to obtain the bread and wine? So the cardinal writes, when I was arrested, I had to leave immediately with empty hands. The next day, I was allowed to request in writing the things I needed the most. Clothes, toothpaste, etc. I wrote to my addressee, please, could you send me a bit of medicine for my bad stomach? The faithful understood what I meant. And they sent a little bottle of wine for mass. Bad medicine, bad stomach ache, yeah? Which they labeled stomach medicine as well. And they also sent host sealed in flashlight to protect them from humidity. The police asked me, do you have a bad stomach? Yes, I answered. Here is some medicine for you. And he writes, I will never be able to express my immense joy every day with the 3 drops of wine and 1 drop of water in the palm of my hand, and I celebrated Mass in the prison. 3 drops of wine and 1 drop of water in the palm of my hand, and I celebrated Mass. I remember reading this, and as soon as I read it, tears came out of my eyes. So touched me. Sometimes, you know, as a priest living in comfortable situation, we can underestimate the power of Eucharist. And as soon as I read this, tears came out. 3 drops of wine and a drop of water in the palm of my hand to celebrate Mass. He goes on writing, in the education camp, the prisoners were divided into groups of 50. We slept on common beds, and everyone had the right to 50 centimeters of space. We arranged it so that there were 5 Catholics near me. At 9:30 p.m., the lights were turned off, and everyone had to sleep. I curled up on the bed to celebrate Mass from memory, and I distributed communion by reaching under the mosquito netting covering us. We made small containers from cigarette packages in which to reserve the Blessed Sacrament. Wow, God was really born in a manger. We made small containers from cigarette packages in which to reserve the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus was always with me in the Eucharist, in my cigarette pack, inside my shirt. And then they say, during our break, I and my Catholic companions took advantage of the opportunity to pass to each other the cigarette container which had Jesus in it. The little container that held the Blessed Sacrament. They all knew that Jesus was among them. He could heal us. He could heal our physical and mental suffering. At night, prisoners took turns to watch over the cigarette package which contained the Blessed Sacrament. How fortunate that we are to have this immense heaven's mystery called Eucharistic celebration. Not just an Old Testament, New Testament phenomena. Old Testament also, if you look at prophets, if you look at leaders in the Old Testament, we can see all of them were so attached to the sacrifice. Starting from Genesis, if you look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to 12, we read, Abraham took off everything. He left everything and he went to the new place. And as soon as he reached, he built an altar. See his passion. As soon as he reached the new place, he built an altar. Then God said, now off to Canaan. And then verse 12 in chapter 18 says, as soon as he reached Canaan, the first thing he does is build an altar. If you look at the story of Jacob in the book of Genesis chapter 28, Jacob was sleeping on a rock. And then that night he wrestles with God. The next morning he used the same rock and built an altar to give sacrifice. If you look at David, every time he comes back after a war, he comes and build an altar and do the sacrifice. Every time he feels remorse and contrite in his heart, he built an altar and he celebrate, he sacrificed to the Lord. If you read the book of Kings, the first book of Kings, chapter 18 and 19, beautiful story. Again, Baal. Ahab married Jezebel. Jezebel was a pagan and she brought her god, which is Baal. Now Ahab started to worship Jezebel. Now Ahab and Jezebel. And who is the prophet? The full on fire, Elijah. Elijah comes into the palace and says, this can't be done. You are worshipping a different god. Let's have a demonstration of power. Who will win? Baal or my god? He asked them to set up an altar. Now the problem in Israel at that time, the altar of the god was destroyed. Now a country, if you look at our history, every time priesthood is destroyed, either by evil from within or outside, the nation is destroyed. Every time evil strikes priesthood, every time evil strike and scatters the altar, the nation is filled with evil and mischievous and immorality. Just like old times. See what we see around us? The priesthood is destroyed. Priesthood is attacked. See, the immorality comes in. The altar is scattered because the priests are sinful. If you read Malachi, the book of Malachi and Jeremiah, God is accusing the shepherds for not living a holy life, because the destruction of priesthood is the destruction of people. So Elijah, first thing he does, he set up the scattered altar. And what happens? People gather. What a beautiful word of God. Chapter 18, verse 28. He says he set up the altar and then people gathers. And the next thing, he prepared the sacrificial lamb. Two bulls actually. He prepared it. And he prays. Fire comes. The next day the reason was they're doing all these things because there was no rain. They're praying for rain. The rain comes into Israel. Now the power of sacrifice, the power of sacrifice. Prophet knew all we need is set up the altar. It is scattered. The blessing of the Lord is not in the country. God cannot bless when the priesthood is destroyed, when the altar is scattered. How can God bless? So Elijah, he brings the altar together. When he brings the altar together, people are together. When the priest is holy, people are holy. When the priest prays, priest fast, priest do penance, when priests live a simple life, when we walk the talk, there is already anointing among the people. Already anointing among the people. And Elijah brought the altar together, the sacrifice was accepted, there was rain in Israel. Now, there is a beautiful thing, we read the gospel. He says to Ahab, you go to the palace. on your chariot, while when you reach the palace, you will have the rain. And then Elijah decided to run. Now I read this. A person who celebrated mass have more power than chariot run by horses. Because Elijah ran before Ahab, who is on a chariot, and reached the palace. A person who celebrated mass, a person who received Jesus in his heart, more anointing, more power on him. Now what happens to Elijah? Jezebel get angry with Elijah. You killed my prophets of Baal. Now I am going to take your life as well. What happens? Elijah ran away. And he rest under a broom tree. No broom tree, the thorn bush. He rest ran under a thorn bush. And the angel of the Lord comes and says, what are you doing? I am sick of everything. God is not blessing me. They are killing me. So I am going to sleep under a thorn bush. And what happens? Next morning, he gets up. He see a bread on hot stones. Hot bread, pancakes. Baba. And he ate it and went to sleep. Angel said, get up and eat it again. He saw another pancake. He ate it. 40 days and 40 nights, he started to walk again by the power of that hot stones. Now, what a beautiful image. The image is this. Under a bush which is full of thorn. And that reminds us of cross. Under a wood which is full of crown of thorns. Elijah rests and he gets this bread, which survives him for next 40 days and 40 nights. In New Testament, the broom tree, the thorn bush, is the Eucharist. In the New Testament, the thorn tree, the broom tree, is the cross, where there is crown, where is thorns. Under the shade of that tree, we will receive the bread, because he himself emptied his life. He gave his body, gave his blood. This is where we receive strength for the next 40 days and 40 nights. And what does, when the angel of the Lord comes to Elijah, Elijah says, what are you doing? And Elijah says, I have been zealous for my Lord. It says, I have been consumed with the zeal for my God. Why? Because the power he received under the thorn bush. This is the power of Eucharist, even in the New Testament. The power of Eucharist. All through the history we read that. Through Old Testament and New Testament. One reason it is so powerful, because God literally emptied on Eucharistic table. Sometimes when we drink, to get the last bit out of the glass, what we do? We really lift it up, shake it. That's what happened. Jesus said in John chapter, when I am lifted up, in other words, when we take him and he literally emptied himself, when I am lifted up, that is the cross. This is the place he literally emptied. What a radical obedience, radical love for the Father. He loved the Father so much. Now, whenever Jesus asks anything, Father gives. I was talking to a priest and I asked him, why do so many miracles happen when you preach? When I preach, people just sit there. And I asked him, why when you put hands on people, why do they get healed? And he said, Bonnie, we need to love like Jesus. Now, how did Jesus love the Father? Emptying everything, Jesus loved the Father. No question of distrust. No question asked. But Jesus, Father, if it is your will, I will do it. He completely emptied and loved. When a person loves unconditionally with pain, God receives that and blessed it. When Jesus loved us that radically, the Eucharist becomes so powerful, because anything Jesus asks, Father will give. Anything we ask to Jesus around this table, Father will give. Because this table is the sign and symbol. This is the place where Jesus loved the Father unconditionally and radically. Anything you come here and ask, it will be given to you. Many times as a priest, I have celebrated private mass. There are times I've been quite saddened and quite dejected in me. There are times very, very upset and sad because of many things. And always I run to say a mass. I take the Eucharist. Because it is a private mass, you can hold the bread as long as you want. And then you just look at it and you pour your heart out into it. Now Jesus can receive anything because he's emptied. The Jesus is full of, you know, I have no space for you, Bonnie. I can't. Because the truth is, because Jesus emptied everything, he's all free for me. His heart is full of space for me. So when I lift him and say, this is my problem, all my whinging, all my complaints, please, 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 he's got room, space to receive me. That is the power of Eucharist. Anyone who comes, whatever your situation, anyone who comes has got a place here because Jesus emptied himself so that you and me can have a place at his heart. What a powerful anointing, powerful miraculous presence we have at this altar. And because of that, David, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, he said, I will not offer my God a sacrifice which costs me nothing. I will not offer my God a sacrifice which costs me nothing. This is the mystery of love in every relationship. I will not give you my life if it doesn't hurt me. God loves us through Eucharist by hurting himself, by letting himself feel the pain, letting his will go, his desires go, and he emptied. You and me have a place and a space in his heart. So this evening, as we celebrate this great mystery, bring any of your worries, whatever you want, and keep it here, because if you're looking for space, this is the only place where we have space in his heart, because he emptied himself for us so that we may have life, life in fullness. Amen.